real joy tonight to be here and to have the privilege of this opening CA rally for this district council meeting for the North Texas District. I want to thank your beloved superintendent, the leadership of the DCAP, and all of those that were involved in inviting me. I feel somewhat at a loss to know which way to go because I was asked specifically if I would preach a sermon that I have preached before. And the problem is that I came into the building and the first four pastors that I met said, I heard you preach a sermon at Kansas City. Well, I had been invited to preach somewhat similarly as far as the message is concerned. And then I thought that the Galileans, I'm sure they didn't all sing new songs tonight. They sang repeats, and what a great ministry they had, a ministry in song. So I'm just going to repeat tonight by request. If you don't enjoy this, don't blame me. I'll tell you, you come to me and I'll tell you who invited me and who told me to preach this message. And if you don't enjoy it, you can blame him. All right, can you hear me now at the back? Is there any problem? Can you understand what I'm saying? Can you? Okay. Before I begin the message tonight, I have brought with me some tapes. For those of you that would like to have some, I have a set of tapes on church growth and fellowship groups. The first tape has to do with the burden, the vision of the fellowship group ministry. The second and third tape have to do with pastoral care through church growth, and I believe that this is the only way to successfully pastor a growing congregation. There are some built-in dangers that you need to know about that need to be solved. But they can become the greatest blessing and greatest complement and supplement to the total life and ministry of the church of anything I know. One of the tapes has to do with the seven purposes of the fellowship group ministry. And then there's a time for questions and answers that were taken at a church growth seminar. Let's look to the Lord tonight in prayer before we share together from the Word of God. I realize I have a mixed audience. I have pastors and wives, I have church leaders and church members, and I have young people. Let me find out what kind of mix we have tonight. How many pastors and pastors' wives are here? Would you raise your hand? All right, thank you. How many church members above CAAs? Would you raise your hand? Would you dare? Thank you. How many CAAs do we have tonight? God bless you. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Would you please, Father? I pray now the Holy Spirit to anoint every phase of this ministry. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will express the mind of Christ through my mind, the words of God through my lips. And I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will anoint both the speaker and the hearers. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, because we ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, on the subject of faith, one of the most exciting and one of the most important. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. That makes faith important. The Bible says that whatever is not of faith is sin. That makes faith important. The Bible says that when you come to God, you must believe that He is. And that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And that makes faith important. But the Bible says, with God all things are possible, and that makes faith exciting. The Bible says that all things are possible to them that believe, and that makes faith exciting. The Bible says, if you believe in your heart, you can have what you say when you speak to the mountain, and that makes faith exciting. Now the fact is that every believer has faith. You have faith, and I have faith. A lady some time ago came to me, she said, Pastor, I'm praying for faith. I said, don't pray for faith, you have faith. Some time ago another lady came, and she said, Pastor, I'm fasting that God will give me faith. I said, don't fast for faith, you have faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 that God has given to every man and every woman, by the way, the measure of faith. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 8, that we are saved by grace through what? Through what? Through faith. And that of yourselves is the gift of God. The Apostle Paul gives his testimony in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says,
says, we're crucified with Christ.
Nevertheless, he says, I live.
Yet not I, but Christ lives where? In me, you'll find, church, if you talk to me, I preach better. In fact, I tell my congregation in Calvary Center, when you stop talking, I stop preaching. It gets awfully quiet about 12 o'clock noon. It really doesn't. If you tell them that, I'll deny it and say you're confused. It really doesn't. But the Bible says that Paul's philosophy was, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives, not in heaven. He lives in heaven. But Paul says, Christ lives where? In me. Now, I hope you're not like the lady who said one time, she said, first of all, I just die to go to heaven. I said, honey, that's the only way to go. I believe in heaven, but the greatest revelation that you can have tonight is that Christ is alive in you. Christ is alive in you individually, and corporately, Christ is alive in your congregation. And corporately and individually, we can express the life, the love, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Apostle Paul says, the life that I live in the flesh, I live not by my faith, but by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I believe that the Christian life is not difficult.
Abraham's faith was not always perfect faith. It grew
strong in faith. And you know that when God told Abraham that that was his name, what God was saying is, Abraham, you're a father of a multitude. A father of a multitude. But the problem was, he had no children. Now, how many of you know you can't be a father without having any children? You know that. It's impossible then to be a father and not have any children. But every time Abraham said, I am Abraham, he was saying, I am a father. He had no children. There was no evidence to support the fact that he was a father. But God said he was. He believed he was. And because of faith, God honored that faith, and he had a son. Perfect faith. It's the kind of faith that says, I know God can. I know God will if I ask him to. I've asked him to, and God has made his promise to me. And in spite of what I know, in spite of what I feel, in spite of what I see, in spite of the circumstances, I know God has. Now, how do we get that kind of faith? But I will not start this over, I promise. How do we get that kind of faith? There are six principles. Are you still breathing? Say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. You're still breathing. Let everything but have breath.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. There are six principles to develop faith. Six principles that will take us from little faith to great faith, from great faith to perfect faith. Number one, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, that faith cometh. I like that. Faith cometh. Faith cometh. Faith cometh. Say it with me. Faith cometh. Say it again.
Faith.
Oh, hallelujah. Now, I make no apology for enjoying my preaching, because if I don't enjoy it, you're not going to enjoy it. But that's the rest of it. I just felt that. As you said it, and as I said it, the Holy Spirit printed it to me. Faith comes. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what?
The
Word of God. Now, that word, in Romans 10:17 is interesting. It's not the usual word we think of. It's not logos. It's rhema. Now, logos is God's purpose, God's thoughts, God's will revealed in this holy word. But you see, this book, this logos, is God's word for everybody. I want God to quicken the logos and speak to me. I want God to quicken this holy, infallible truth and speak personally to me. To take the logos, take something from God's eternal purpose, God's eternal will, something of God's thoughts revealed in the Word of God, and speak the rhema. Now, the reason why many people get into trouble is because they confuse logos and rhema. Now, I know there are times in the Bible when logos and rhema are used interchangeably. But the word rhema means a spoken word. You see, if you don't have God's word spoken personally to you, it's not faith, it's presumption. I had a man in my church who embarrassed me a few years ago. He announced that he was going to have a special service and turn water into wine. Well, I learned about it too late. He had the service, he had the water, but no wine. They prayed, they fasted, they pounded the altar, they did everything, but still no wine. They confessed, they decreed, they loosed and they bowed, but still no wine. So when I heard about it, I took him out to lunch and I said, "Now, why did you do it?" I said, "You embarrassed yourself and you embarrassed me and you embarrassed the church and you embarrassed the kingdom of God." I said, "Why did you announce you were going to have a service to turn water into wine?" Now, what he said made sense. He said, "Pastor, don't you know the word? that one of those words was turning water to wine. So he said, I just stand up and pray. Because Jesus said it, and if Jesus said it, and if I believe it, let's say it. Well, I said, Mel, tell me something. If you are planning to go down to Lake Eola, and you tell your people that you're going to walk on water, you let me know. And the answer is no. Now, what was the problem? Doesn't the Bible say that Jesus turned water into wine? Yes, it does. Doesn't the Bible say that Jesus said the words that I do, you shall do also? It does say that. But that's logos. Now, you see, we need the Holy Spirit to take the logos and speak personally. I believe that God can still perform that miracle, but it's performed on the basis, not of the logos word, but of the rhema word. Have I been thinking? Am I coming through? You see, you look at the life and ministry of Jesus. It says in the Gospel of John, chapter 5 and chapter 8, that Jesus didn't say anything he didn't hear the Father say. He didn't do anything he didn't hear the, didn't see the Father do. And at the end of 3.5 years, a brief, short ministry, he could look back and say, Father, I've done all, I've finished everything you told me to do. You know that there were people that Jesus didn't heal. You know that there were people that Jesus did not resurrect from the dead. You know that there were people that Jesus did not perform a miracle to feed their hungry stomach. You know that there were many things that Jesus didn't do. But he did everything that he heard the Father. So the Father did. He said, everything he heard the Father.
That's it.
Of all my preacher friend, my pastor brother, if we will stop praying, Lord, bless what I'm doing, and start to say, Lord, help me to do what you're blessing, and let's listen to what God is saying, and move in the flow of the Holy Spirit, and listen for the rhema word to have revival. Faith comes.
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I had a preacher some months ago, a couple of years now, I guess. He came down to Calvary Assembly. He attended our midweek service. And at the end of the service, I could tell as he came to me, he was angry. Face was flushed. Eyes were flashing. And he pointed his finger and he said, you know, Harlan, you couldn't do this in New Jersey. Well, I said, you're probably right. God didn't send me to New Jersey. God sent me to Orlando. I said, did God send you to New Jersey? He said, yes. But he said, I can't do it. I said, why not? He said, I'm surrounded by Jews. Well, I said, so was Paul.
So was Paul.
You see, boy? Oh, listen, listen. Jesus was given by the Father all authority. And Jesus has given that authority to you, to the corporate body, the Church of Jesus Christ. And when God sends you to your community, he does not send you there to fail.
Amen. Amen.
He sends you there to do the work he's called you to do.
Amen.
When you hear the rhema word, oh, I love Ephesians 4:11, hallelujah. The Bible says that you, pastor, are Christ's gift to your fellowship. I tell my church, you didn't hire me, you can't fire me. One little lady some time ago said, Pastor, well, how did we ever get another preacher? Oh, I said, that's easy. Find another church. Now, before you think I'm preaching heresy, that doesn't mean that we have to be self-styled dictators. But brother, it means you have to have victory over circumstances. You have to have victory over people. You've got to know that you are where God sends you, and you're saying what God tells you to say and to do it, what God tells you to do. blood of the oil and put that blood of oil upon their ears. We need an oil body sanctified by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
Be careful in the ears what you hear. The old Sunday school song, but brother, you need to know that you're doing what God tells you to do and you're saying what God tells you to say. And don't move until God leads you by that prayer and the word. And you know that you're moving and flowing in the move of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Not only is it true that faith comes by what you hear, it's also true that doubt comes by what you hear.
Right.
Brother, I'm very careful about the friends I choose. I get around some people, I feel like taking a spiritual path. They're so negative and so critical. They criticize everything. They criticize everybody. They're negative.
I want somebody that comes to me to be my friend, associate with me, someone that will bless me, someone that will help me, someone that will edify me, someone that will inspire me, someone that will build my faith.
I had a pastor on my staff a few years ago. One Saturday, I happened to go to the office, which is something I don't usually do, and I happened to go to the office this Saturday morning. And as I was in the office, there was a knock on the door, and a young preacher came into the office and told me his story. He was quitting his church, in fact, quitting the ministry. He'd come to Orlando to get a job at Sears and Roebuck. And as I listened to him, I recognized the call of God was on the life of this young preacher. And I said, "Don, tell me, what's the problem?" Oh, he said, "I'm discouraged." I said, "Why are you discouraged?" He said, "Nothing's happening where I pastor." Well, I said, "Why isn't anything happening where you pastor?" Well, he said, "Every Monday morning, a friend of mine, a preacher friend of mine, would meet halfway between his city and my city. He said, we'd drink coffee together. We'd rehearse the catastrophe of the day before. We'd talk about the people that were not getting saved, the people that were not getting healed, the people that were not attending the church." I said, "No wonder you quit the ministry." Because he had allowed his spirit to be robbed of that dynamic faith. Doubt had filled his heart because he listened to negative, pessimistic, critical people.
That's right. Yes.
I said, "Don, I want you to come and work with me. But number one, no negative thinking. Number two, no negative talking. If you have something to say in criticism, come to me. I will learn." Well, God turned him around. He learned the principles of developing an exciting faith, a dynamic faith, a mountain moving faith. He was with me for 2 years. One day he came to my office. He said, "Do you mind if I pass to another church 15 miles away from me, from Calvary?" He went to that church. I heard people call it the preacher's graveyard. You don't have churches like that in Texas.
No.
But Don went to that church, and today he's having 4 services every Sunday. He's taking that city. He's making an impact in that community because, on the one hand, doubt was developed by what he heard. Now he's learned that faith comes by hearing and hearing the written word.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, I pray tonight that some discouraged preacher will hear the rain of word, that you'll go back to your community with new faith, a new optimism, a new courage, a new determination, a new dedication, and know that God sent you there, and that God sent you there. You are his representative. You are his ambassador.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You have a call to be brother.
Praise God.
Yes.
Glory to God. The sermon isn't helping anybody. It's helping me. Number two, faith comes not only by what you hear, faith comes by what you see. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith is the evidence of things unseen. Do you know something? Jesus is here tonight.
Yes.
How I don't see him, but he's here. And do you know something else? Angels are here. Angels are here tonight. This auditorium is filled with angelic spirits. The Bible says in Hebrews 1:14 that angels are ministering spirits, ministering to us, the heirs of salvation. Look at the angels. Can you see the angels tonight? You know, some angels have gone on strike. They're bored. Thoroughly bored.
the song of God's people, don't understand the ministry of angels. And the angels want to minister to us, but we ignore the fact that they're God's agents, God's ministering spirits, ministering to us. Yes, Lord, I got on board that PC 10 today. I said, well, I'm glad the angels on board.
Some of the wires going like this, and I'm pretty sure.
tonight. And I would stand behind the pulpit. And I would welcome the people. And I would go through the sermon. I'd make the appeal. And I'd say, God bless you. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. You say, well, was anybody there? No. Were the people there? No. Just few. But I was going through the service. And you see, I refused to believe what I saw with my eyes. I say, God, open the eyes of my spirit. God, open the eyes of faith and let me see the pews and pews and more pews, but all of all people. So I went down to the pews and I lay hands on the pews. You say, where do you find that in the Bible? Hezekiah 2:17. Yea, verily, thou shalt lay hands on the pews. I said that in one service, and one of the ladies of the entire service might have found the book Hezekiah. Honey, it's not in there. But you see, church, I wasn't laying hands on pews, I was laying hands on people that would sit on those pews. I feel, Lord, in the name of Jesus, the people that will be sitting on these pews tomorrow morning, in the name of Jesus, I just bless them. Those that don't know Christ as Savior, they're going to get saved. Those that need healing, they're going to get healed. Those that need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, Lord, you just move in mighty power in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I anoint the pews in Jesus' name, but I anointing people in faith. I see not pews, but people.
Yes.
So I get up the next morning, Saturday and Sunday morning, and I put ushers everywhere. This section, nobody there, but I put the ushers over. See, ushers, I want you to take the offering. Ushers over here. Ushers in the bathroom. When it came time to welcome the people, welcome the visitors, I'd say, now, church, I want you to welcome all the people in the bathroom. Let's turn around and give them a hand. Aren't you glad they're there? And they all look. Nobody's there. They were there. They just didn't see them, but they were there. Disciples said, Thomas, Jesus is alive. He's risen from the dead. Thomas said, I don't believe it. I'm going to see it. I'm going to see the nail prints. I'm going to see the hole in his side. And then Jesus appeared to Thomas in John chapter 20. He said, Thomas, I'm paraphrasing. He said, Thomas, it's beautiful to believe what you see. It's more blessed to believe what you don't see.
Amen.
What do you see tonight, my brothers and sisters? What do you see? What do you see? What do you see? Can you see with the eyes of faith? Can you see the opportunities? Can you see God moving, God working, Christ building his church? And I'll tell you something. If Christ is building his church, there's no need for you and he both to stay awake at night. Let him do it. Hallelujah. Peter is one of my favorite characters. I love him. Love him. He's impulsive, impatient. Impetuous, open mouthed, and certain foot. That's Peter. He'd rush in where angels feel his wrath. Peter. But I love it. The story of Peter. Let's see if I can illustrate what I'm going to do. I'm not sure. We'll try. Here's Peter. In the boat, Jesus walking on the waters. And Jesus says, Peter, come. I want you to know that was a regular word from Peter. If John had jumped overboard, he'd have had problems. Rainbow word, Peter warned. So I don't believe that Peter just jumped overboard because Peter knew that you can't walk on water. He knew that. He knew that. He'd seen other people try it. This work. So I can see Peter delicately balancing on the side of the boat. And his left foot was sort of feeling the waves. Jesus said, Peter, come on. And here he is holding the side of the boat, just about to move, and he turned and saw Thomas. And Thomas was grinning from ear to ear. And Thomas was saying, go on, Peter. Well, finally, Peter walked on the water, but then, you know what the Bible says? Peter saw the waves boisterous. Down to
CA is forgive me if I keep talking to preachers, but they are the men and the women. Well, I have the women. Well, I love young people. Father, Johnny Wilkinson over here, serious problems in your boat. Underage, of course. But I love young people, but the preachers. You see, as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he was the Lord. But the moment he saw the way, he began to sing. I'll tell you something, preacher. There are too many preachers that are looking at the way.
Right.
Looking at the way. Looking at the way, brother. Don't you do it. You look at Jesus. You thought I couldn't get back up there.
I suddenly realized I was, so I walked in. I locked the door.
statues of the legs and psychopaths. So I didn't want to look at the vibrating pan, so I began to walk back and forth across the floor of that pastor's office. And I didn't know what to do, because here I was, God's man of faith and power. Just about to break through the curtains and bring deliverance to this generation. Some of you young preachers don't know what I'm talking about. Here I was with 10,000 people waiting for my ministry. So I began to walk, and as I began to walk, I prayed a one-word, four-letter prayer. And God did. He dropped a rhema word into my spirit. I know I've heard it before. I knew I'd heard it before, but the Bible says God has not given to us. I changed it to me. I said, God has not given to me the spirit of fear. He's given power. He's given love. He's given a sound mind. I said it again. I said it out loud. God has not given to me the spirit of fear. I began to say it until I began to see myself victorious with authority, with faith. I felt so strong as I was defending the word of God. I got my hand on that door handle, walked 3 miles with every one of those 10,000 hands. I stood behind the pulpit. I said, folks, thank you for inviting me to be a pastor. We're going to have a great service. But I have to begin from that day, and I still do it today. Get it on the plane. Get it in the hotel room. I have to see myself not as I am in the flesh. In my flesh, I'm still insecure. In my flesh, there's no good thing. In my flesh, I have fears and frustrations and weaknesses and complex problems. But brother, I'm not in my flesh. I'm in Christ. And greater is He that's within me than He that's in the world. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Hallelujah! Can I tell you one more story before I get to point number 3? I know that it'll be long. But I have a deacon who some time ago came into my office. He said, Pastor, I need to share with you my problems. And he had a real problem. He was really walking through a real difficult time. And I said, Bill, I really don't know what to say to you today, but just keep looking up. And he grinned at me like he had no sense. He said, no, Pastor, keep looking down. I said, Bill, look up. He said, Pastor, look down. I said, Bill, there's nothing down here in this country. Look up. He said, look down. I said, Bill, are you trying to tell me something? He grinned at me. He said, Pastor, have you ever read Ephesians 2:6? Yeah, I have. He said, where are we sitting with Christ? In heavenly places. He said, Pastor, if I'm sitting with Christ in heavenly places, there's only one way to look. Down. Oh, hallelujah.
Praise God.
Will you ask the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of the Spirit? Will you ask God to show you who you are and what you have in Christ Jesus? And don't be like David's brothers who saw the giant. And David came along, he saw himself as the giant. He saw that Goliath. He said, who is that uncircumcised Philistine? You see who you are in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Develop faith.
Number 3. Faith is developed by what you think. Somebody says, now he's going to talk about the power of positive thinking. No, I'm not. I'm going to talk about the power of the renewed mind. You see, if Christ, are you still with me?
Yes.
Check up the neighbor. If he's going to sleep, wake him up. He needs to hear this. If Christ lives in you, does he live in you? Does he live in you? Does he live in you? He does. Believe it. See it. His faith through you. The bottleneck preventing Christ's expression of faith is your mind.
Yes.
You cannot believe positively and think negatively.
Amen.
You cannot. You cannot believe positively and think negatively. So if Christ within you wants to express His life, His love, His ministry, His faith through you, He finds the bottleneck of your mind. That's why you have to renew your mind. Romans 12, verse 2, your life can be changed by what? The renewing of your mind. Ephesians 4:22, put off the old man. You know what the old man is, don't you? It's not. One lady testified in church, he said, Pastor, I want to kill the old man. If I knew her husband, if I didn't blame her, if I'd have to live with him, I'd have wanted to kill the old man too. But that is an old man. Put off the old lifestyle. Put off the old behavior pattern. Verse 24. Put on the new man, the new lifestyle, the new behavior pattern. Now, verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your life. Let another spirit, through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, because Jesus said the word that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life, and your mind can be renewed, and your life can be changed by the application of the quickening power of the Word of God in the realm of the Holy Spirit. I was a professional pessimist. Today I'm a trained optimist. How? By the application of the Word.
Keep balanced in your position and walk in the truth of the Word of God and don't react because of people's mistakes and not
It's true. By your words. You're justified by your words. You're condemned. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Revelation 12. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. I still believe that Christ is the high priest of my confession.
Yes.
And when I confess, he, the high priest, presents to my heavenly Father, while the Holy Spirit is commissioned by my heavenly Father to make real in my life when I confess, when my confession is in God's will and according to God's word.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Say, well, I heard of somebody who confessed for a Cadillac. Well, that's his problem. That's his problem. I know a lot of extremes and abuses. I know people that deny reality, but that does not mean that this is not a valid, exciting New Testament principle. Thank you, brother. And Jesus said in Mark 11, oh, listen to me. He says, have faith in God, the faith of God, the God kind of faith, the spoken word of faith, and if you believe in your heart, you can speak to any mountain and say, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And Jesus said, you can have what you say, and I believe that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. One more thought on this before we get to number 5. You know, I know you know, that salvation means more than forgiveness of sins. The word, this is good sermon material, preachers. You can go home and preach it like it should be preached. But the word salvation in the Greek, the way it's used in the New Testament research, it includes forgiveness of sins, it includes healing for the body, it includes deliverance, and fasten your seatbelts, it even includes prosperity. Now again, there's been extreme abuse, but oh my. If you see, prosperity is not like the marriage vows to have and to hold. God wants to shower his blessings into your life so that you can share.
Amen.
With people that need.
Amen.
Amen. So, you research it now. The Bible says in Romans, chapter 10, if you'd have asked me some years ago, where it is faith, I would say, well, it's in Hebrews chapter 11. It's not. It's in your mouth. Hebrews 10 verse 8, faith is in your mouth. Faith is in your mouth. Where is faith? I didn't hear you. Where is faith? Where is faith? In your mouth. Faith is in your mouth. Now, the Bible says, with the heart man believes. Listen. And with the mouth, confession is made. What's the next word? Unto. Now, whenever you read the word unto, it means you're going somewhere. It's a journey. It's a destination. Now, let me put this microphone over here. This is salvation. Forgiveness, healing, deliverance, whatever you need it. Financial means. The Bible says we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing, victory, authority, whatever you need. Here I am over here. God says I'm sitting with Christ in heavenly places, but my circumstances say I'm living under the circumstances. I'm living beneath the word. How do I go from where I am in experiences to where God says I am? There it is. That's salvation. That's joy. That's peace. That's victory. That's authority. That's blessing. That's what I need. That's all inclusive through the atonement of Christ revealed through the word of the Holy Spirit. It's there, but I'm here. That's there. I'm here. How do I go from here to there? With the heart man believes, but with the mouth confession is made what? Unto. Have you seen that television commercial? Well, the boyfriend is walking on clouds to get to the girlfriend. That's confession, brother. There it is. It's there. I know it's there. The word says it's there. I'm here. How did I get there?
last night. Reading, some of you know, we put out Jerusalem magazine.
And I stayed up late last night to write my article for the magazine. I wrote about hymnbook theology. Some of you in Kansas City have heard me tell the story.
Hymnbook theology. I'm compiling a new songbook entitled Hymns I Hate. Now, I know that I'm going to touch a few sensitive nerves right now, but keep loving me. And I've got some hymns, but I especially want to have some hymns I hate. I was on the radio one time. It was my wife's and my wedding anniversary, some years ago. 25 years we've been married, and I wanted to dedicate a special number on the broadcast. So I picked what I thought was a beautiful song, and I gave it to the engineer, and I said, when it comes time for the song, you play it, but I'm going to dedicate this to Paul Eaton. So I said, folks, we've been married 25 years, and God gave me a beautiful, wonderful bride. And I said, I'm going to dedicate this number to my wife, and the record's starting to play. It's not an easy road. It's all right for you to laugh.
You see, that is a beautiful song, but it's not true.
Jesus said, my youngest, easy, my brokenness. The song says it's not easy. Jesus says it is. Who are you going to believe?
Mighty men around us fall.
study song out of the songbook. If you want to sing it, sing a solo. Don't ask me to sing a duet. If you want to sing Ultimate Christian Soldiers, I'll sing it. Victory in Jesus, I'll sing it. We've come this far by faith, I'll sing it. He's Lord, he's risen from the dead, I'll sing it. But brother, don't sing those silly songs that destroy faith.
Well, number five, what you hear, what you see, what you think, what you say. Number five, are you still breathing? Number five, what you do. James 2:24, faith without works is what? You see, once you begin to develop this dynamic, this exciting kind of faith, then God's going to tell you what to do and whether you're going to do it. Now, I was reading through the Acts of the Apostles some years ago. I was so fed up. I almost took the ministry. I thought I was God's indispensable man, God's right arm, that I was responsible for the growth of the church. I was bottle feeding the saints, burping them, and changing their spiritual diapers. I got fed up. I'll talk about that tomorrow afternoon. And I had to give gifts and gifts and giveaways and balloons and banana splits and all kinds of nonsense to try to get the church growing. I've done it all. I've put bananas around the walls of the auditorium and said to the people, sign up and be one of the bunch. Red pins, blue pins, safety pins, you name it, brother, we've done it all. And I got fed up. I said, you know, what's happening, I'm building the church on flesh. And what's born of flesh is flesh. And the reason I've got so many carnal church members is because they've got a carnal pastor who's trying to build on carnal methods. I said, Lord, I'm going to make a commitment. If I have to push anything to keep it alive, it's going to die. If I lose my entire congregation, it's going to die. That was the beginning, but I'll talk about that tomorrow. Well, I was researching. I was fed up with methods. I'd go to church growth seminars with my yellow pad, trying to find somebody to give me seven easy steps to build a successful Sunday school. So one day I said, Lord, I'm going to go through the Gospels, see how Jesus did it. Going to go through the Acts of the Apostles. And hour after hour, I would read and research through the New Testament to find. You talk about a textbook on church growth, brother, it's right here.
Right.
I was reading through the principles of the Gospels and the principles of the Acts of the Apostles. And I got to chapter 16, and I heard a rhema word. I was reading in Acts 16 where Paul baptized the jailer in the middle of the night. The middle of the night. Didn't even wait till daybreak. And I suddenly realized it was just like a panoramic picture open before me, that I couldn't find anybody in the New Testament who was saved and wasn't baptized. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, every one of them baptized. Philip goes down and talks to the Ethiopian eunuch, and it was the convert that asked the preacher. We preachers ask the converts today. But then the converts asked the preacher, water, want to be baptized? Well, I heard a rhema word. The Lord said, you're going to baptize people every Sunday night. Now let me tell you something. Anytime God speaks to me a rhema word, the devil is going to challenge us.
That's right.
God spoke from heaven. Jesus in the water, thou art my beloved son. Goes to the wilderness, faces the devil, and Satan said, if you are the Son of God. Question everything that God says. God said, I want you to baptize every Sunday night. The devil says, you're going to look like a fool standing all alone in the water. I said, church, we're going to baptize every Sunday night. And from that day, that's about 8 years ago, from that day until today, we've never had one Sunday night without people following Christ in baptism. Last year we baptized over 1,500 people because I heard the rhema word. If I had listened to the devil, I wouldn't have done it. We were baptizing every month, four, five, six. If we baptized 12, that was revival. But brother, we as sons of God preachers need, you know, if people, when they die, if you don't bury them, they
God, brother. Be merciful. In the name of Jesus Christ, do it this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now, so I heard my brother. Well, about 4 years ago, some of my preacher friends came to me. They said, Roy, are you going to build a new auditorium? I said, no. I haven't heard God talk to me. But about 2 years ago, 18 months ago, time goes so fast, I don't know where I am time-wise. I was driving to church one Sunday morning, and I got to an intersection, and the rainbow word, claim this property in the name of Jesus. Now what I did not know is that there are 52 houses on 52 pieces of property. The neighborhood, boy, the last few weeks the devil's got so bad. This was about 2 years ago, and we've been buying property, and now we just have about six more pieces to put together. And three people in the neighborhood have sued us. And the devil's jumping up and down saying, ha-ha, did you really hear from the Lord? Yes, I did. And once more, the Lord said, not only claim the property, but he said, I want you to raise $5 million. Now, the most I'd ever raised is $300,000. So I got up before the church. I said, church, the Lord's told me to raise $5 million. We're going to build the auditorium for cash. In two Sundays, last October, our wonderful congregation committed $5,200,000.
Praise God.
We're going to go to 6 billion, there's no question. So what I'm saying is that when God speaks, you're going to frustrate the voice of the Holy Spirit. You're going to frustrate that expression of faith within your heart if you don't activate your faith. And let me say in passing, and I'm almost through, the Bible says faith works by love. Oh, if there's one word that I have in my heart, if there's one thing I give to God in Calvary Assembly, it's the relationships among the people. Because you see, a divided church, a fragmented body, cannot present a total Christ to the community and meet the total needs of a total man. You can't afford to allow unforgiveness, envy, and jealousy, and bickering, and pettiness, and criticism. You've got to keep love flowing. The Holy Spirit shedding abroad that love within your heart. You can't hold grudges and feelings of retaliation and resentment. You've got to love people. And faith works by love. And last but not least, by what you hear, by what you see, by what you think, by what you say, by what you do, the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse 17 through 20, verse 20, it says that Abraham grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. While faith is being developed by the principles that I'm sharing with you tonight, what do? You keep praising the Lord in spite of circumstances. You praise the Lord when things go right. You praise the Lord when things go wrong. You praise the Lord when people get saved. You praise the Lord when you have a backdoor revival. You praise the Lord. You praise the Lord. Because the Bible says God grants the praises of his people. Psalms 149. The Bible says that praise, listen, binds kings with chains and nobles with fetters of iron. You know that praise cannot bind an earthly king. Praise cannot bind an earthly noble. But what the psalmist is talking about is what Paul is talking about in Ephesians 6, when he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, in Satan's kingdom in that second heaven. When we praise the Lord, we give Satan an earnest breakdown. We paralyze, if you will. We pull down principalities and powers. We make the enemy ineffective when we praise the Lord. Oh, let's have our people praising the Lord. Let's have our congregations filled with praise. And the Bible says we enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Verse 20, the Bible says if you want to build up your faith, you pray in the Holy Ghost. Brother, when you pray in the Holy Ghost and you praise in the Holy Ghost and you don't listen to me and I'm through, don't let the charismatics run away with singing in the Spirit. That's ours.
Amen.
It's ours.
Some Pentecostal people think that that's just reserved for the charismatics.
I am a charismatic. I am a Pentecostal. I am a Christian. I am a child of God.
Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. What is it then? I will pray in the spirit in tongues. I'll pray with the understanding in English in our case. I will sing with the understanding in English. I will sing in the spirit. Oh, God wants us individually and corporately to learn the secret of praising. Not only praising because we're told to, not only praising because we're programmed to, but praising because the Holy Spirit is moving within our hearts and He inspires and motivates the praise of His people. Would you stand together, please? Hallelujah. Let's raise our hands and do just that tonight. Hallelujah.
What God tells you to say and to do it, what God tells you to do it, come to faith.
also, too, that doubt comes by what you hear.
Right.
Brother, I'm very careful about the friends I choose. I get around some people I feel like taking a spiritual path. They're so negative and so critical. They criticize everything. They criticize everybody. They're negative. I want somebody that comes to me to be my friend. Associate with me, someone that will bless me, someone that will help me, someone that will edify me, someone that will inspire me, someone that will build my faith. I had a pastor on my staff a few years ago. One Saturday, I happened to go to the office, which is something I don't usually do, and I happened to go to the office this Saturday morning. And as I was in the office, there was a knock on the door, and a young preacher came into the office and told me his story. He was quitting his church, in fact, quitting the ministry. He'd come to Orlando to get a job at Sears and Roebuck. And as I listened to him, I recognized the call of God was on the life of this young preacher. And I said, Don, tell me, what's the problem? Oh, he said, I'm discouraged. I said, why are you discouraged? He said, nothing's happening where I pastor. Well, I said, why isn't anything happening where you pastor? Well, he said, every Monday morning, a friend of mine, a preacher friend of mine, would meet halfway between his city and my city. He said, we'd drink coffee together. We'd rehearse the catastrophe of the day before. We'd talk about the people that were not getting saved, the people that were not getting healed, the people that were not...
Okay.
And as I stood at the back of the auditorium and saw that great crowd, 10,000 people, I panicked. And I turned around and there was a door that said pastors. I suddenly realized I was, so I walked in. I locked the door. I stood in the middle of that floor and I looked down, and would you believe, my pants, unusual they were vibrating. I've seen them do things like that before. It wasn't the pants, it was the legs inside the pants that were vibrating. So I didn't want to look at the vibrating pants, so I began to walk back and forth across the floor of that pastor's office. And I didn't know what to do because here I was, God's man of faith and power. Just about to break through the curtains and bring deliverance to this generation. Some of you young preachers don't know what I'm talking about. Here I was with 10,000 people waiting for my ministry. So I began to walk, and as I began to walk, I prayed a one-word, four-letter prayer.
Help.
And God did. He dropped a rhema word into my spirit. I know I've read it before. I knew I'd heard it before, but the Bible says God has not given to us. I changed it to me. I said, God has not given to me the spirit of fear. He's given power. He's given love. He's given a sound mind. I said it again. I said it out loud. God has not given to me the spirit of fear. I began to say it until I began to see myself victorious with authority, with faith. I felt so strong as I was defending the word of God. I got my hand on that door handle, walked 1,000 miles with every one of those 10,000 hands.
I stood behind the pulpit and I said, folks, thank you for inviting me to be a pastor. We're going to have a great service. But I have to begin from that day, and I still do it today. Get it on the plane. Get it in the hotel room. I have to see myself not as I am in the flesh. In my flesh, I'm still insecure. In my flesh, there's no good thing. In my flesh, I have fears and frustrations and weaknesses and complex problems. But brother, I'm not in my flesh. I'm in Christ, and greater is He that's within me than He that's in the world. I'm not going to preach long. But I have a deacon who some time ago came into my office. He said, Pastor, I need to share with you my problems. And he had a real problem. He was really walking through a real difficult time. And I said, Bill, I really don't know what to say to you today, but just keep looking up. And he grinned at me like he had no sense. He said, no, Pastor, keep looking down. I said, Bill, look up. He said, Pastor, look down. Nothing down here in this country. Look up. He said, look down. I said, Bill, are you trying to tell me something? He grinned at me. He said, Pastor, have you ever read Ephesians 2:6?